Before I read with you from Ezekiel chapter 33, the first 20 verses, let me lead you in a prayer for the Spirit's guidance. Father in heaven, without your word, we would not know. And without your Spirit, we wouldn't understand. The one who brings it needs now, Father, to step back so that Jesus would become large and big and awesome. And Father in heaven, we pray that you would chase all of his pride and arrogance away, that humble before your word, we may be fed and warned, and that we may be called to faith. We ask, Father in heaven, a blessing for the elders as they listen, that the word may be pure and true. For all the men you have called to watch over their wives and their families, that they too would be listening for the sake of the well-being of their families, and that all of us would, being students of the Spirit like the Bereans, dissecting that word and studying that word to understand and discern the truth. And Father, as we hear then the gospel through the mouth of Ezekiel one more time today, would you bless us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's turn then to Ezekiel one more time today. Ezekiel 33, as we said this morning, begins the call to comfort. In the first 32 chapters, we hear of the warning to Israel, their refusal to warn those in Babylon, refusing to repent. But then the Lord God brings hope through Ezekiel. And we're going to read then the first 20 verses, 1,342. Hear the words of the Spirit as he speaks to the churches. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes the warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn away from, or to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we live then? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in that day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, and he shall not die, and none of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. If the children of your people say the way of the Lord is not fair, but it is their way which is not fair. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, I will judge every one of you according to his ways. So far the reading of God's holy word, may he add his blessing to it. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, interesting words from Ezekiel. Words of power, words of strength, words that certainly would have taken courage for this young man to bring to a people in exile. A people who, by the way, really didn't see all that much wrong with what they were doing or in the way that they lived. They had a pretty high view of themselves, even to the point where they could say, if they didn't say it out loud in their hearts to Ezekiel, it's God who is not fair. And yet we hear this evening about a God who is patient and He's going to work with these children, that they are rebellious and they are stubborn, but He is not going to let them go. And part of the way He's doing that is by putting them in an adverse situation. They're in Babylon. They're away from the people of Jerusalem. They're away from their normal way of life, and they don't like it. But He's also raised up a man named Ezekiel. And you know, if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 3, you'll read there his calling. And then we read there that he is called to be the watchman over the people of God. Beginning at verse 17, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, or save his life, that same man shall die in his iniquity. You hear again that same calling in Ezekiel chapter 33, the watchman. And we'll discuss what that means, the shepherd, the overseer, that what is true for Ezekiel in those days of exile is no less true for the New Testament church. So when the Apostle Paul is going to Jerusalem, really to probably meet his demise and then be sent eventually to Rome, and he meets one last time with the Ephesian elders there at the docks, and they put their arms around him and they all get down on their hands and knees and they're weeping. Then Paul says, keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. And even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on guard. I know sometimes we get irritated with people in authority. We get irritated when we're children with our parents or our teachers. We get irritated with our government right now. And we can get irritated with our elders and our deacons. But don't forget the blood guilt that comes in their calling today. That they have been called to lead us, to watch over us, to warn us, and that if they don't do it, our blood will be on their heads, and their blood will be on their own hands. It's no little thing. When God says to Ezekiel, if you don't do it, I'm going to curse you. And elders and deacons, if you don't do it, I'm going to curse you. Beloved, you know why these men are here? Because we need them. Your minister needs good elders and deacons. And you need good elders and deacons and a pastor. And we need men who love the Lord and are willing to serve the Lord, who take this seriously. Many of us have come out of places and churches where the church lost their love of the Word of God. They lost their passion, where the wolves came from within us and we lost our ways. And many times it's true that was from the pulpit. And that was from the seminary lectern, and maybe even from the Christian school. But at the end of the day, it was the elders who didn't say, no more. You may not preach. Who did not warn. God has given us these men because our God is a patient God. And when we think about that, right, I have no joy in the death of my people. I have no joy in condemning anybody. The Lord God then is patient, desiring that all men repent. That's right in the middle of what we've just read, and it's fundamental to what we'll hear this afternoon. So that we'll see that Yahweh, I am, the great God Almighty, calls the watchman, but then he also calls you, his people, to accountability and culpability. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now in Ezekiel 18 we read, therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to your ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, Turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and get a new spirit. Now, this morning we heard how God will give that new heart and give that new spirit, right? But it also involves us. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed. Get a new heart. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. And then Peter, who says, I am a shepherd with you under the chief shepherd, in 2 Peter 3, says, or 1 Peter 3, 8, 9 says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So we heard this morning that our chief problem is our sin. And that even after we are made people and children of God through circumcision, by birth into Israel, or for us, by birth into the church, through baptism, or through our conversion and then baptism, no matter how that comes, we're always in danger of heading back to an old way of life. We're always in danger of grieving the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what happened with Israel. That Israel refused to understand how they had angered the Lord God, and that even in Babylon, that they're living there under the judgment of God. And God now says, Ezekiel, son of man, you got to talk to them. And you've got to warn them. And that's why, beloved, preaching is never very comfortable. So on February 18th in 2022, the Lord God installed a man here after a long wait. And on that evening, Reverend Joel Dykstra preached from Galatians 1 verse 10. Where Paul says, if I am a man pleaser, then I am no longer a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Who does your office bearer serve? And brothers, that's where it goes to. Who do you serve? To whom do you give the glory? Is it about you and your honor and your reputation? Or is it about the name and the glory of Almighty God? And if it's about the name and the glory of Almighty God, the pure God, the righteous God, the holy God, then you've got to tell us when we're not living right. You've got to tell the minister you're not living right or you're not preaching right. Deacons, you've got to come into our house and say, what gives? You're not giving. Which of you wants to do that? You know, we whine and complain about Trudeau and Ford. Which of you wants to do that? But these men have been called to do it. And it's not necessarily a choice. You know, sometimes people will ask, how did you know that you were supposed to come to Sheffield? Well, you called. But how come you knew that you weren't supposed to stay in Toronto? And it's a very difficult thing to explain. But sometimes it's like this. When you met your wife, brothers, who are married, or women, when you met your husband and you knew, of all the people in all the world, how come you knew that's the one? And you know by the power of the Holy Spirit. And most of the time that's right. That calling comes upon us. So we call that the internal call. That there's, I think, that maybe the Lord is calling me, in Alex's case, to the ministry. So he's going to go do the work. And maybe there's some other young men thinking about the ministry or missions. Go do the work. But brothers, young men in here, do you want to be an elder? Are you feeling the call to the diaconate? Then start doing the work. And start thinking about what this really means. And what these brothers are called to do. So the Lord God is patient. He wants everybody to repent. And then he gives to us leadership in our lives. Men who will come into our lives and do the uncomfortable thing. They'll tell us to repent. And they'll tell us to believe. And then Ezekiel, by the word of God, who calls him the watchman, uses a parable. Now, in our day, we have drones, we have radar, we have airplanes that do cognizance, we have spies, we have all kinds of things. But in that day, the only way you knew that an enemy was coming is that all throughout your town, along the walls, you would build very high towers. And that from those towers, the men could see quite far, especially in Israel, they could see the enemy coming because behind them were the mountains, the enemy was only going to come from one way. Fair enough. But who are you going to get to man the tower? Have you ever thought about that? Who do you get to man the tower? The man's got to have some special gifts. First of all, he has to have decent eyesight. So, you know, back in that day with me, like you're all blurry, I could see baby to the end over there and I can't see anything after that. You'd be in trouble. So you need a man with vision. You need a young man, a vital man, a man who's not going to fall asleep on the job. Fair enough? But you know what you really need? You need a man who won't be bribed. You need a man who won't be a traitor. You need a man who won't sell you out. You need a man who loves you so much that no matter what, he's going to look out and say, the enemy is coming. And then they gave these men a shofar, which is a huge ram's horn. And he would blow that ram's horn, and a certain shout on that ram's horn meant, the wind is coming, and then the people would know, wind is coming, this is what we got to do. Or another time, locusts or heavy rain is coming. The people then would know what to do. They had a plan, and they would execute that plan. But when the enemy came, they also had a special sound of that shofar. And then the enemy would come, and the people, the men and the older men and the women and children would go into their hiding and into a place that is safekeeping. The soldiers would come up, and they would begin the defense, that they would be ready. They were warning, something is putting us in danger. So a watchman and a shepherd are very much the same. Right, where David says, hey, there's a lion, or there's a wolf, or there's a bear. I've got to do something. I've got to keep my sheep safe. I've either got to call to them and get them out of there, or I'm going to have to stand up and do that work myself. But a watchman was called to be a man of integrity. Now, in that world, if a watchman sold out, or fell asleep, or didn't do his job, and the enemy came, what do you think happened to the watchman? He got tortured, he got beaten, and then he got killed. And you know what? Ezekiel would have known that because that's what happened. Because their watchmen were not men of integrity. And when the enemy came, they didn't even seem to care. First with Assyria and then with Babylon. Ezekiel knew exactly, those people knew exactly what happens when the watchmen are lazy. You think of Psalm 121, the Lord never slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord is our strength. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the towers, and my help from the Lord comes from the watchmen. So these watchmen then were called, in a parabolic sense, to watch over us. And now the Lord God says, now what's true for them in that political, military, safety sense, I want you, Ezekiel, I want you, brother elders, and you, brother deacons, and really all of you husbands and fathers in this place, to begin to understand that you don't get to take a break from this. You don't get to just say, I am going to take a few days off. I know that the pastor preached some pretty questionable stuff, but maybe it'll get better. I know that that family hasn't been coming to church for quite a while, but, maybe that will solve itself. I know that there is abuse going on in that home, but maybe something will happen. We don't get to do that. It's been said that you men just put on a jacket today. And no matter where you go, we used to say the deacons get the green jacket because you're like the shepherds and the missionary, the mercy people. But wherever you go, we're going to see deacons. And then you men get the royal purple jackets because you represent the kings. That wherever we go, we get to see you. And if it's true for the minister, there's things at weddings I pretty much shouldn't do, right? Well, there's also things you men shouldn't be doing. Because we need to follow you. And we need to go forward with you. And I want to talk again to some of you young men, because we're getting to that point where we're going to need you men. And how do you date? Because some of us have not dated that well, and then you got to walk into somebody's house, and then that girl looks at you and says, I remember you, and that wasn't so good. What reputation do you have in the Church of Jesus Christ? Are we men of integrity, all of us? Respectable men? Men that women follow, men that children follow, men that men follow? It can only work if we follow Jesus Christ and do the work that He called us to do. Look at Christ. What did Christ do when He came to the earth? He said to the Pharisees, you wicked and perverse generation, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You whitewashed sepulchres. You know, everybody, you know, talks about that, but that's no little thing when a carpenter from Nazareth walks in and starts kicking the tables over in the temple courtyard. Can you imagine people going, what is going on here? You've turned the house of my God into a den of thieves. How dare you? And what did they do with them? They stuck them on a cross. They hung them. Crucify them, murder them, execute them. We don't want to hear it. Brothers, not everybody's not going to want to hear it. They're not. Last weekend we had a wedding together, and in that text it says, pray for us, for unreasonable men do not want to hear the truth. Let's pray that that doesn't happen here, but it probably will. We are people, and we fall short of the glory of God. But brothers, will you warn us? Because it's not just being right or wrong. God says to Ezekiel, it's our soul. Our souls are at stake. I know from one of your Bible studies, you talked about the sermon last week, and the catechism makes us do it. And there's something good about preaching the catechism. But how much should a pastor preach about sin? Should we mention pornography? Should we mention abuse? Should we mention abortion? Should we mention pride, arrogance, gossip? That family can be a stronger blood tie than the blood of Jesus Christ? Should we mention it? And thankfully, I heard, yes, we should. Because it isn't comfortable. It's easy to say, God is love, and everything's good, and isn't life awesome, and join Christianity, and you can be on easy street. But then your iniquity would be on our head. As Charles Spurgeon said, you need to preach to those people like it's the last time you'll ever preach to them. And if we leave you without a sense of your sin, and if we leave you without a sense of your salvation, Charles Spurgeon also said, there's a lot of ministers in England this week who ought to give their paychecks back. You brothers better make sure that that's what's happening in this church. But you also have to be willing to come into our homes, to come into the lives of young people, and you don't come into it 2 years down the road when we're into the sin. But a watchman sees it coming. Hey, there's a speck over there. It's getting bigger. Now, we got to deal with this. And if the giving and the mercy of the church, if we've forgotten how to love and take care of people, think of what Jesus said there, brothers. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. But Jesus also said to those people, if you didn't, you know, they're knocking on the door, you can't come in. You didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. You didn't give me something to drink. You need to teach us that. Our souls, my soul, these people's souls are in your hands by the gift and the power and the privilege and by the commission of Almighty God. Watch us. Watch over us because we're vulnerable. We're in danger. We're living in this dark, wicked world, and sometimes it just seems like it's so much easier out there. No, it's no little call, brothers. It's no little thing. Hear what Paul writes to the Ephesians, that the Lord God gave office bearers to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Isn't that hard for us, especially us older folk and men, especially some of you men now that are going to take a rest and you've been office bearers and now you have to submit to these office bearers? We're supposed to listen to them, and God gave these men to us so that we could mature. Why do God give children to parents? Well, He gives parents to children so they can grow up. None of us likes that, but praise God when they do it. And brothers, if you can bring us to maturity in the faith that we can attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants. And we have to admit that. Tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and the craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. To watch over us, you have to know God. You have to be diligent students of the Word of the Lord. It has to be second nature to you. You have to know where to lead us and to guide us. But be warned if you don't, that the guilt of those who fall away, and God's clear, if I fall away, it's still on me. But if I fall away and you didn't warn me, then it's also on you. Beloved, please pray for these brothers and the ones who are serving. And please pray for me, because sometimes it's too much. None of us is up to this. and in humbleness. And I'll tell you, there's tears in that room in the back. And we can cry, and we cry in our bedrooms because we're so useless sometimes. And then you get angry with us. And we just don't know what to do. But pray that we'll remain faithful and we'll lead you in the way of truth and that we really will watch over you and that we will have hearts of love that no matter what, you know, parenting's like that, right? There's times where I need my child to not like me because that's the right thing to do. There's times where we as men need our wives to not like us because it's the right thing to do. And that will also happen in here. But if we can go forward, we'll be spared the ugliness and the horror that all those people in Babylon had to go to. And we grow. Yes, you are a gift. You have a calling. But there's culpability and accountability. Hear the word of the Lord. Because Ezekiel doesn't stop there, does he? He says also to the people of God. He says, yet the children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair. But it is their way which is not fair. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. It's kind of complicated there, right? But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, conversion, we get that. He shall live because of it. Yet you say the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, I will judge everyone according to his ways. Now earlier he talks about, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness, and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. That was the Israelite problem. And that's a little bit the problem when you have a strong view of the covenant and you have a strong view of baptism. That somehow we're in. And by the way, I don't know that that knock's always wrong. It's not always correct. But they come and get, well, all you people who baptize your children, you kind of just say, well, they're in. And, well, you know, they've got to sow the fruits of their evil, and then they can make profession of faith. And, well, we're going to leave that to the Lord, and he's going to take care of it. But we brothers, don't have that opportunity. That's not given to us. We have to say to the people of God, and now I have to say to you, because Ezekiel says it, the Holy Spirit says it to you, don't bank on your own righteousness. Don't bank on your church membership. Don't bank on your so-called goodness, because God says, it's not good enough. In the moment you do that, you've turned to your iniquity. And you can stand there, and the hypocrite's always going to be there. And by the way, the best hypocrites you're never going to get, because that's what they are. It comes actually from the word masking. And they cover themselves. And most of the time, we don't see it, but God sees it. And you know if you are or if you're not. And God's calling you out today. Through this pulpit, who those men who called me to do this, through this word which God gave to us, the word that is Jesus Christ, and he comes to you and says, I see you. I judge you. I know everything about you. I know the way you think about the office bearers. I know the way you treat them. Do you make their burden easy and their yoke light? Do you respect them? Do you give them double honor? Or are you like the world that says, ah, we don't need authority? And we are our own God. I see you. And I know you in a way that these men and I will never know you. But the Lord's watching. And the Lord's looking. And God says it to Ezekiel. All you can do is preach. And if you preach and you tell them, if you continue in your sin, and I have to tell you that every week, if you continue in your sin and you do not repent, you will go to hell. It is so. Thus says the Lord. I don't particularly like that that's the truth, but it is the truth. And if I love you, I have to tell you the truth. You don't let your child with their hands in their mouth put their finger in a light socket. You knock the hand away. And they don't like it and they cry. But I'd much rather that they cry now than that they really hurt themselves. We don't let our kids just run into the street and play. And we also have to understand that we need to be warned and guided so that we don't continue in the path that leads to hell and the place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Almost all the references of hell in the Bible are attributed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can either stand there like the Pharisee, oh Lord God, thank you that I go to the United Reformed Church of Zion in Sheffield. Thank you that I have the three forms of unity. Thank you that I had catechism classes. And God looks and says, but you never took care of me. You never fed me. You never clothed me. Where were you? You're going to rest in your righteousness? Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like the homeless in Cambridge, or I'm not like those drug addicts in Toronto, or I'm not like those other Christians who have bad doctrine. You're going to stand there really before God and say that? And you know we're all going to say no to that, but don't we sometimes? Didn't we engage in a little bit of pride and the Lord God laid us low? All of us at one point, because He will. He has to, because that's the kind of people we are. So that finally we stand there like the tax collector. Oh, Lord God, have mercy upon me, miserable, rotten sinner that I am. There's no righteousness in me. I got nothing, Lord God. Don't even look at me. I'm ready. I'm ready for the punishment. And He says, good son, beloved son, prodigal son, come home. Beloved daughter, criminal daughter, slave daughter, set you free. Come home. If you repent, God says, if you repent, I will forgive you. I'm the one who's fair. I'm the one who is good. I am God. I am righteousness. I am God. I am holiness. I am God. I am merciful. I am God. I am justice and mercy and grace to you. I am the Lord your God. I am your God. Be holy as I am holy. And if you don't, I will work on you and I will be patient with you and I will send you leaders, but you need to listen to the word of the Lord. And you need to hear it. Not because I say so and not because your elders say so, but because God has sent these men into your life for your benefit so that your souls will not be lost. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. And so I'll call to you what God says, turn. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Zion? Give your life to Christ. And I can tell you that you will be forgiven. Because the watchman who saw the enemy stepped up all alone and took on that enemy, even unto death, and died on a cross. That all of you who believe your sins are forgiven, repent and believe the kingdom of God is at hand. He rose from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And He sent the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit comes and it hovers. And that's why just as you have been born again and recreated, it's also true that pastors are created, and elders are created, and deacons are created, and then the Spirit worked through you when we had our congregational meeting. And through your prayers, and then He made clear, this is the pastor who's supposed to come. This is the elder group that is going to serve you. And these are your deacons. I am God, and I love you. And I am working in you. So it is a really special day when we see four young people say, in Christ alone my hope is found. And then a group of men who say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, my only Lord and Savior. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And they sang it with you. Because they believe what you believe. They're willing to fight for it. We just heard from the form of subscription. They won't deviate from it. They made a promise. They made a promise to God for you. And God gives them that measure of love and wisdom so that we can be taken care of. Remember Psalm 1, therefore the godly shall not stand in the judgment, or the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. He says, through His Son, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. And until I come again, I will give you men, elders and deacons and pastor, to watch over you and to love you. I will give you husbands and fathers to watch over you and to love you. And I will lead you in the way of truth, that even though you walk the valley of the shadow of death, His rod and staff will comfort you. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not be in want. He's given us elders to be our shepherds, and deacons to help us take care of one another as the flock of Jesus Christ. Listen to them, pray for them, and watch over them. And brothers, be in prayer. We need you. Because God said so. We need you to be diligent. We need you to do the uncomfortable thing. and we need you to tell us off once in a while. But you can tell us when we do good sometimes too. That God may be praised, that the church will go forward, that our community in Brantford and St. George and Sheffield and Safari Road and beyond it, you're going to help us be a light in this world. You're our generals. You're our leaders. We're going to follow you. Lead us in the way of truth, and we will be blessed. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Spirit of God, thank you for what you've done in our congregation. Spirit of God, when we look at the word, we realize that over the last little while, we've done well and we've done poorly. We've fallen short. We haven't always been kind. We didn't always lead the way we were supposed to. And sometimes, Father, it was just because we're human and we didn't know. Father in heaven, you asked of us things that there was no handbook, nothing to consult. What were we supposed to do and how to do it? And some people got hurt and some people got angry. And Lord God, here we are now. And this morning we could sit together and take the Lord's Supper. We thank you for men who are willing to serve. Give them everything they stand in need of. And Father, when it comes to the point where it's too much, let them reach out. Father, we pray that we would have each other's backs. And that you would give us peace in the consistory room and in the council room and in the deacon's room. We pray, Father in heaven, that you would give us peace in the congregation. And Lord God, a desire to love you and to serve you. Help us, Father, in our belief, help our unbelief. Let us live better, more holy, more decent lives. And Lord, pray also for the young men in this congregation. Lord, it's time for them to step up of the games and of the things that distract them. Of young women waiting for a young man to reach out and ask them out. Father in heaven, not only here, but in our churches, we need men who are willing to step up and be called to the ministry, to elder and deacon, or to other roles in the church. And Lord, we know that they are all a gift from you. And as we heard from your word, from Paul this afternoon, or this evening, that we all have been given different gifts so that we can be one body. Now we pray for these elders and deacons and our consistory and council together that we would lead, that we may mature and grow up and be strong and stable in the Lord Jesus Christ and stand up for Jesus. Lead on, O King Eternal. We follow not with fear. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.